You probably know the hits of the Jay Giles Band, fronted by Peter Wolfe. You may not know how much the band and others were influenced by these guys.
I was born in Chicago in 1941.
The Paul Butterfield Blues Band brought the blues out of back alley clubs and onto top 10 radio in the 60s. After the band broke up in the 70s, Paul Butterfield toured but died young in 1987 at 44 after an illness. Butterfield is already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This weekend, Peter Wolfe will induct the entire band. We thought it'd be a good time to be reminded of Paul Butterfield, this white blues legend who toured with the originals like Muddy Waters. And Peter Wolfe joins us to remind us. Peter, welcome back.
Well, thanks for inviting me. It's good to be here.
And talk about this song, Born in Chicago. He was.
Yes, he was born in Chicago. I believe it was written by Nick Rabinides, and it was for Paul. That's how I first actually heard of the Paul Butterfield Band, because Elektra Records put out what they call a blues sampler or a folk sampler, and they had the Muldaur and different people on it, and the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. There was one track called Born in Chicago, and I was a blues fanatic. I was going to art school, and I had a band called, it was called Hallucinations. It speaks for itself.
Okay.
And we were really obsessed with blues. And it was in the era when the reputation of bands traveled by word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And there was this great buzz going on about this band coming out of Chicago. And we were a blues band, and the Stones, I guess, were a blues band. Yardbirds were a blues band. There were a lot of young people my age really obsessed with blues and the blues recordings. And we heard about Paul Butterfield.
And he was a white kid in the Hyde Park section of Chicago.
Yes, and I think several, if not all, of the founding members went to the University of Chicago.
Right.
And I think that's where Paul met some of the other members.
And we can hear Paul Butterfield playing the instrument that became his calling card, the blues harmonica. What did people love about his musicianship?
Well, the thing was, there was an authenticity Paul had, a credibility, shall I say, with the recordings. There was something, it didn't seem like imitators. In the same way that many people could hear Stones songs like Time Is On My Side, though that was a cover song, the Stones did something to it that made it their own. And the Butterfield Blues Band did the same thing with blues. There were a lot of blues bands that were stayed on the level of imitators, but there was something special about the Butterfield Band, and his harp playing was really, he took certain styles from greats like Little Walter and Big Walter Horton, and he kind of really popularized what the harp plays were called third position, and it's a more jazzy kind of way of approaching the harmonica, and he was really a master at it.
But taking a little bit of a risk, because as you said, unless they had authenticity, they're just copying. He had something more. Do you think part of it was that he had studied classical flute?
Well, that too, and plus it was an interracial band. And some of the players that made up the Paul Butterfield Band had played with Howlin' Wolf and had been mainstays in the sort of blues clubs in Chicago for a long time. So that was a unique aspect to what the band had. So they weren't just imitators.
Yeah.
They were guys that started to really live the life. And you go back to people like Jimmie Rodgers and Hoagy Carmichael. They were white musicians, and blues became so much a part of their music that it was hard to distinguish the difference, the soulfulness of their music.
The Paul Butterfield Blues Band formed in 1963. They released 6 studio albums before they disbanded in 71. Let's listen to another song, I Got My Mojo Working.
Got my mojo working.
They fit in the musical world of the 60s? I mean, obviously people like you were fans, but they had hits.
Well, if I might paint scene here. There was a very prestigious folk club called the Club 47. And people like Joan Baez got their start there, and Eric Von Schmidt and Bob Dylan had played there. And Cambridge in those years,
here in Massachusetts, yeah.
Yes, talk about the 60s, early 60s, was one of the great folk capitals. But there was this buzz about the Butterfield Band. And then came Newport, and they were invited to play in Newport. It was the summer of 65, and that spread like wildfire, that they sort of blew the place apart.
I was born in Chicago in 1941. Well, my father told me, son, you had better get a gun.
And then during that same time when they were at Newport, Bob Dylan approached the band and asked some of the members of the Butterfield Band to join him when he did his first electric set at Newport. That became such a controversial era in Bob's long history. And so by the time they came to Boston right after that, and so I remember going towards the 47, and early afternoon there were lines down the block. And so I got to see the band. I heard their recording, their album was out, but I wasn't prepared. I got to soundcheck, and it was a small club, used to folk musicians, acoustic folk musicians. And there was this band set up, and the power that came out from the stage was something beyond that what was captured on the recording. It was this immense power that wasn't loud, but it was just this power. And the assault that they had was unlike any band that I heard. And I think that the Butterfield Band sort of led the way electronically for bands later on like Cream and Led Zeppelin. They sort of were the first to really take the blues and bring it up a notch. When they came to town, my band had a cold water flat, and they ended up coming up, rehearsing for what became their second album, called East West. It was so important in my development to see, especially when they got to this long, I think it's about 13, 14-minute instrumental, and hearing every time they played it, it was almost like the kind of improvisation you would hear from great jazz masters.
Obviously, this is going to mean a lot to you. You've inducted others before. You inducted Jackie Wilson into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But obviously, this will mean something to you, something very personal, to be able to induct Paul Butterfield. He had quite an impact on your music.
He did. He and the band members, Bloomfield, Elvin, and Jerome Arnold, Sam Millay, and then later on Billy Davenport. And the band progressed with different members. Paul added horns, David Sanborn, who was great. But he kind of opened up the door and developed a new direction that gave younger blues fans like myself a direction to go, and also separated from a lot of blues band the way of sort of living the song and making these great, great songs become alive in your own personal way.
Peter Wolf, lead singer, frontman for the Jay Giles Band, soloist in his own right. He'll be inducting the Paul Butterfield Blues Band into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland on Saturday. Peter, have a blast.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. As John Lee Hooker would say, if it's in you, it's got to come out.
Jump, jump here. Jump, jump there. Jump, jump, baby. Baby, you gotta mellow down, easy, baby. You gotta mellow.